Today, the title is called Believe the Lie. I know, it's so depressing. We're going to talk about what that means. What I want you guys to see today is that, and we're seeing it, the reason that I kind of went on this track, but then like the Lord showed me so many things, we're going to go through so many scriptures today, is that, do you understand that as far as the driving force of what's going on in the world, especially America, is all about propaganda and lies? You understand that, right? If you're like, I didn't know that, then I'll be standing over here and I will minister the truth to you. But what I'm saying is, yes, there is a lot of just propaganda and lies, and you've seen this. And again, I'm not giving a political speech today. I'm just taking something that just happened in our culture, and I'm going to move it into the scriptures. But basically, you just had someone who is now back in office who won the popular vote. We have the Senate and the House. Okay, the American people have spoken loudly. Okay, people keep posting the maps of like all of these red things and then just a couple little blue states. So, but what happened is that you go to the media and it's like, oh my, they're like, it's the end of the world. You know, Hitler is back in office in all of this just nonsense and lies, and it's fear-mongering. It's causing people to do crazy things. Some people have actually taken their own lives because they actually believe that like Hitler is in office. And the reason that this is happening is because people at the highest levels are saying things that are not true. And, you know, everybody knows that lying is a sin, but we don't really talk about lying that much because we think about there's bigger sins like murder and idol worship and different things like that. Lying just doesn't seem like high up there. But I want to show you today that lying is the number one tactic of the enemy. And it opens the door to everything else. I'll give you an example in the garden is that Satan lied to Adam and Eve. They knew what God said about don't eat of this tree, you will surely die. The devil comes along and says, you surely will not die. And then he says, because God knows in the day you eat of it, you'll become like him. Now, all of these things are being twisted because they were already like him. If you look in Genesis, it says that they were made in the image and likeness of God. We were. Adam and Eve were. And that lie got them killed. That single lie brought sin and death all into the world all at once. And it all began with a lie. And so, especially today, where people will lie and they don't even apologize for it anymore. And then if people aren't believing they lie, they double down and they triple down. In these last days, and I believe that some of you may be seeing it in your workplace, some of you may be seeing it, hopefully it's not happening in your families, but there is a deception that's going on where people are not just believing the lie, but they're losing their minds over it. Everybody in here understands, and we've said this many times, but again, I want to give an easy example about how a lie has made people insane. Everybody in here understands that there are two genders, correct? That is scientific proof, okay? But now, there is a certain segment of people that believe that there's more than two. There might be 50, there might be 60. And not just fantasy and lies, but some states are trying to create laws and create hatefulness and bigotry of saying, if you don't acknowledge this person's lie and fantasy, we're holding you accountable. And so there's literally this pressure that's going on that is saying, if you stand up for truth, you're actually the bad guy. But to actually try to tell a child that is confused, that is probably, you know, going through all kinds of changes in their body because they're growing and they're developing, that now, and I read you some of the laws that were being put forth just in Illinois, that as if a parent doesn't affirm their child's confusion of what gender they want to be, the child could be removed from the home. If you don't affirm the fantasy and the lie that that child, if they are a boy, could be something, anything else other than a boy, you could be brought up on child abuse charges. These are actual laws that they're proposing for this state. If you weren't here the week that I read those off, I read the bill number. They're actual bills. And that's all Satan wants us to do. We think Satan is this, you know, this guy that's just causing all these problems. He's causing hurricanes. He's all that. Satan has no power other than what you give him. If that's not true, then we have no authority. And we have all the authority. Jesus told the apostles, I give you authority to trample on scorpions and serpents. He wasn't literally telling them to go out in their shoes and step on snakes and scorpions. He's talking about all the power of the enemy. Satan has convinced the church to be weak, and then that way he can waltz right in. And so when we talk about what does believe the lie mean, that's all the devil wants you to do, believe the lie. He told Adam and Eve, you won't die. You'll actually become like God. Just trust me. When we talk about words like belief and faith, the root word in the Greek is simply the word trust. The devil wants you to believe the lie. And the great thing is, God has given us something as a gift that we're going to see in Scripture that emphasizes truth over anything else. Now, I'm gonna put a caveat to that, because most people would tell you that love is the most important thing, and I would agree with that. But if the devil can convince you that God does not love you, or that he's abandoned you, or you know he's through maybe manipulating a father that doesn't treat their children very good, then a child, you know, has this confusion of understanding, well, is this loving father in heaven somebody who abuses me? There's all these different ways that Satan is manipulating things. So even though love, I would say, is the most important thing in the Bible, if you don't know the truth about love, you're going to have a distorted view of it. Truth is going to be the thing that stands in these last days. It has to be, because if you've read Revelation, if you've read 2 Thessalonians 2 and other verses or chapters that allude to the end of times, it talks about a strong delusion that will come. It talks about how the whole world will be deceived and will go after the beast. And that they will be deceived and they will take the number of his name, either in their head, in their forehead, or in their hand, and they won't be able to buy and sell and trade. It will be a deception. Because everything that Satan stands for is a lie and a deception. And what we're going to see in Scripture is everything that God stands for is truth and reality. So here's just some quick verses that we could kind of sum this up as we go into the other verses. So in John 14, 6, we learn that Jesus is the truth. He's not a truth. He's the truth. Anything that disagrees, or anyone that disagrees with Jesus, is a liar. And we use lies to distort reality. And again, I'm just picking something in culture. If you are somebody who has had this procedure done, I'm not mad at you. Jesus loves you. You can be forgiven. But I'm going to pick a real easy one. Abortion. The truth is, it is murdering a baby that is in what should be the safest place. It's murder. And if you don't agree with that, you're deceived. But what do we have to do? It sounds really bad if we want to have these rallies and promote abortion and going, yay, we can murder our babies. So what do? We call it health care. We call it reproductive rights. That seems to be the catchy one, because now it sounds like your rights are being taken away instead of you're killing an innocent baby. And again, if you're somebody in here that's had that done, I'm not condemning you. Jesus loves you. You can be forgiven of that. But that doesn't mean because people engage in sin, we have to stop calling it sin. okay? The church, certain denominations at large have embraced and have openly said that homosexuality is not a sin. It is a sin. It's in the Bible. Now, let me go a step further and saying any kind of sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is also sin. We have to call sin sin, not so that, oh, it's just, it's like it's being mean to people. No, we have to speak the truth in love. The great thing is, if you've committed any of these sins, you can be forgiven. All of this is truth, but we can't start telling lies to make people feel better. You know, that's the classic one, is if the wife comes out, does this dress make me look? You got to tell the truth. Amen. You have to tell the truth or you're a liar. So, ladies, just don't ask loaded questions. Okay, so Jesus is the truth. He's the only truth. We did not know truth until Jesus came on the stage, that he came, that he became flesh because he was God in the flesh. He was fully God and fully man. The Holy Spirit is the truth. That is stated in 1 John 5:6, and we're going to unpack the Holy Spirit and his title or his name being the Spirit of Truth. In 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, it says, the Lord Jesus is the Spirit. This is, because some people are like, well, wait a second, there's God the Father, God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's true, but they're also one. And so many times you read in the New Testament interchangeably, it very clearly says when it's talking about the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, it says, now the Lord Jesus is the Spirit. And most of you know the next line, it says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or there is liberty. That's that verse. In Acts 16:6-7, it says that the Spirit of Jesus and Holy Spirit, those two terms are used interchangeably. It's where Paul is praying about where to go, and it says that the Holy Spirit restrained him from going into a certain area. And then he was going into another area, and it says the Spirit of Jesus told him not to go there. It's in the same verse. So they're used interchangeably. In Romans 8, you can read that whole chapter, the term Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned in the same passage, and they're used interchangeably. The reason I tell you this is because we need to understand the Trinity of, well, I'm trying to figure out a better way to say this. We need to understand the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We usually understand that. We pray to God. You know, Jesus is the one who died on the cross. The Holy Spirit is the one that lives in me. But we cannot forget that they are also one. And I believe that God was very intentional about speaking through the people that wrote this down to show that. They have all kinds of different titles and different names, but they are one. And if they're one, then that means all of them are truth. Okay, so that's what I wanted to establish there. All right, let's go on to the next verse. Okay, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus first begins to talk about him, his most common name that he uses for the Holy Spirit is Spirit of Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he says in this verse, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, another in the Greek means of the same kind. Because what is he talking about? He has to leave, and he says this later, I have to leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. But the Holy Spirit is actually going to be better. Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go. Why? Because when Jesus was here, he could only be in one place at one time. Now that the Holy Spirit has come, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God is everywhere through people. If Jesus is in one place at one time and he's in this area, they're bringing the sick to him. They're bringing people who have illnesses. They're bringing people that need to be set free and all of this. And Jesus is in one area at one time. If we have the Holy Spirit, we can be all over the world doing this. So he says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another of the same kind of a helper. The word helper is the word parakletos, which is the word comforter, consoler, and someone who comes to your aid. Would you agree that in this life, it's good to know that we have someone that's coming to our aid? And the great thing is that the Spirit of Truth, this helper that comes to your aid, lives on the inside of you. Look what Jesus says, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. Remember, him meaning the Spirit of Truth. Now, I know you're probably sitting here going, well, I know some people that aren't necessarily Christians that, you know the truth or are not getting into all of this nonsense with, you know, abortion and multiple genders and all of this kind of stuff. Well, that's great that they know that, but it's still just merely fact. You do not know the truth unless you know Jesus Christ. You cannot know truth unless you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see this in Scripture. He's going to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. Look what he says. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, Jesus, when he commissioned the 12 and he commissioned the 70, it says that he imparted his power to them, which would be the Holy Spirit. But he says that it was simply with them, not in them. That's why what happened in the Gospels is different than what we receive today. It's the same person of the Holy Spirit, but he says, you know him because he abides with you and will future tense be in you. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. John 15, verse 26, he is also going to be talking. He says, when the helper, the comforter, the consoler, and someone who comes to your aid comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. Everything should testify of Jesus. It says in Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit, or excuse me, I said that wrong. Yes, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. So the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The whole point of us having the Holy Spirit is to bear witness. Now, that doesn't just mean sound and announce the gospel. It says bear witness of me, meaning everything that Jesus said and everything that he did. Jesus' whole ministry here, all he did was serve people. He never served himself. That would be bearing, if you just simply say, I'm not here to serve myself, I'm here to serve other people, that is bearing witness of Jesus. If you understand that Jesus just came to just show us love through healing, through compassion, through feeding people, all of these different things, that is the Holy Spirit bearing witness. That's what we should be doing. That's why the Bible says that when we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. It says that when we're those who are sons and daughters of God are led or conduct their lives by the Spirit. Why? Because it's basically Jesus, when he went, he put his Spirit in us, and that is how we operate. As when we say, as Christ is, so are we in this world. But you can't do that unless you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is Jesus, as we saw on the first page, that the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus, Holy Spirit are used interchangeably. So it says, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Let's go on. This is John 16, 13 through 15. He says this, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. All my Greek scholars in here, what is the Greek word for all? Right, good job. all the truth, not some of the truth, not a partial truth. He says he will guide you into all the truth. But it says he will guide you into that. And that word guide is like to lead people on a path. You have to be lovers of truth. If you are lovers of truth, then you are lovers of God. Because God is truth. Jesus is truth. So I want us to start thinking about the word truth differently. Because truth is a person. Apparently, truth is a spirit. And what are we seeing today? The Bible predicts that that during the time of the apostles, even they were calling it the last days that they were living in, and that was 2,000 years ago, is they talked about how the spirit of Antichrist is already in the earth, and one day the Antichrist will come. Well, we haven't gotten to the Antichrist yet, but spirit of Antichrist has been in the earth since the time of the apostles, according to John. The spirit of Antichrist would be what it says. He's anti-Christ. And if Christ is truth, then what would be the opposite of truth? A lie. So you can know the spirit of Antichrist whenever lying happens. Again, I'm not picking on it, but I would not encourage any of you to watch any kind of mainstream legacy news. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And if you don't know that the mainstream media is lying to you, again, I'll be standing over here and I will educate you. They're lying to you. We shouldn't be listening to lies. So anything that is not truth is Antichrist, because Christ is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. So he says, when the spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. Look at this. And this, again, like when we talk about the Trinity is, I don't think that our mind will completely fathom it this side of heaven. I mean, we can try to put it into words. But how many of you have ever, this has happened to me before, and I'm not saying this to gloat or anything, because I bet you this has happened to some of you, and you don't have to put your hands up. How many of you have ever felt like, whether you're reading the word or you're praying, that the Lord imparts something to you so deep that you feel like there's not almost like human language to describe it? Paul talks about that when he went to the third heaven. He said, I saw things I can't put words to. And so that I feel like that way with the Trinity. We can put words to it, but we're never going to completely fathom it this side of heaven. So we know that they have separate roles in a sense, but they're all one. This kind of shows this a little bit here. Look what it says. He will not speak on his own initiative. Talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He doesn't speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. Isn't that interesting that Jesus says, when I go, I'm going to send you another helper, which means of the same kind. He's referring to himself, right? Because he's their helper now. And he says, I'm going to send you another helper. And he says that the spirit of truth will not speak on his own, only what he hears. What did Jesus say when he was here? I only say what I hear my Father say. He says, the words that I speak are not mine. Isn't that amazing? That while Jesus was here, he never spoke, we talk about speak your mind. Jesus never spoke his mind. He only spoke what he heard the Father say. The Holy Spirit will only speak what he hears. He will declare to you things to come. This is prophecy, right? The Holy Spirit can give you a prophecy. He says he will speak of things to come. He will glorify me. And of course, this is Jesus speaking, so he's talking about himself. He, the Spirit of truth, will take what is mine, which is the truth, right? Because Jesus is the truth, and will declare it to you. So in the same way that Jesus was their helper and said, I'm going to send you another helper, but while Jesus was here, he only spoke what he heard the Father say. Now the Holy Spirit is only going to speak what he hears Jesus say. Because he says he'll take up what is mine and declare it to you. And then look what Jesus says. Everything the Father has is mine. Why is that? Because Jesus is his son. Right? You have scriptures that talk about you and me have an inheritance in the kingdom because we are sons and daughters. Everything that the Father has, I'm going to go a little bit further, is yours. Because if everything that Jesus has, or excuse me, everything the Father has belongs to Jesus because he's the Son, everything the Father has belongs to you. See, I think many times we fall short in bringing forth the kingdom, praying for people. You know, we got all this weird kind of identity stuff. It's going to be embarrassing. All of this because we don't really understand that this is the reality. We've said this many times in here. This is secondary reality. That reality, the spiritual, the kingdom of God created this reality. Therefore, it's secondary. No, nothing created that reality. It just has always been. We need to understand that when we're operating in this world. Young people, you need to understand that if you go to school or you get bullied or somebody says something mean, I'm not saying because you don't have flesh and bones that it doesn't hurt, but that's not the reality. The reality is you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God. But that's what it is. Think about it. This whole world, after the fall, this whole world is designed as a deception against you. And the only purpose that the devil has is while you live in this life to deceive you that the gospel's not true, that Jesus, in some cases, didn't even exist, but even if he existed, he was just kind of like a prophet or he was a really nice guy. The whole purpose of the devil is to deceive you from the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, when people are like, I'd like to thank God. Well, which God? People say on award shows all the time they'd like to thank God. Very rarely do I hear, I'd like to thank Jesus Christ, the only truth that there is, the true Son of God, the only way to the Father, because that's a little offensive and non-inclusive. So the Spirit of truth takes what is Jesus is, and Jesus is the truth, and declares it to you. Do you know, many times people will say this, and I've seen lots of teaching on it, and there's a lot of great teachings on hearing the voice of God. You know what the easiest way to know that you're hearing the voice of God is when you hear truth. Because it can only speak truth. So when you have, like, conviction about something, all you have to do is stop and go, is this the truth? And if it's not, then how many of you know there are other spirits out there that like to whisper in your ear? If you hear a spirit say to you, you know, you're pretty good at this, but you're not as good as that other person, or you don't do it as well as that other person. You know, the Bible says, do not compare yourself amongst yourselves. So if you hear that in your ear, it's a lying spirit. I think that we hear from darkness and from light more often than you think you do. But sometimes the darkness is screaming so loud, you have to listen for the spirit because it's a still, small voice. If we got clutter, if we're on our phones, we got to check this, we got to do this, I got to get to this thing. How are you going to hear God? You need to just take time to listen to him. And how do you know the voice of God? Because the voice of God is going to encourage you, is going to remind you who you are in Christ. It's hard. We're encased in flesh that has fallen. We live in a fallen world. This whole world, like I said, since the fall has been designed. The systems of this world have been designed to lie to you. So everything the Father has is Jesus. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine, which he's talking about Jesus, which apparently also belongs to the Father, that Jesus has because he's a son, and will declare it to you. You have all the opportunity of the world to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit taking from Jesus, which also belongs to the Father. This gift is so amazing, yet I think we would all agree that the Holy Spirit out of the Trinity is probably the least taught in the modern day church in America. I'm telling you, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and this is nothing against my dad, because again, he went to a college that emphasized God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. You heard about the Holy Spirit when you got dunked under the water, because they'd say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins, and that you might receive the gift of the Spirit. But there was no teaching on what this baptism of the Holy Spirit is. There was no teaching on the gifts. There was no teaching that we have this prayer language of speaking in tongues that we can do in our private life. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about how we do this between us and the Father, and it's actually the Spirit speaking through this. All this stuff that people don't necessarily is not their number one go-to message on Sunday morning. Because now it might get a little weird. Now it might be like, what? We're actually hearing the voices that talk to you? And like I said, brothers and sisters, if we were honest with each other, you hear those voices all the time. And you're not crazy. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, yes, the gifts, yes, healing, yes, all of those things. But what is those things really? It's just speaking truth to deception. It's speaking light to darkness. Because here's the worst deception in the body of Christ, is that God is making you sick for some kind of reason. That is a lie. You know how I know that? Because God did not create sickness. It is a result of the fall. So people, they believe the lie and they don't even fight against sickness. Or they say God's making them sick, but then some reason take medicine and try to get better. Which is really weird if you think that was God's will. But do you see how how a lie brings in all this confusion and deception? Instead of going, one of God's name is Jehovah Rapha, the healer, God, the God who heals. But because, again, many believers, they don't know the word of God. They're not hearing the word of God on a regular basis, whether it's from teachers or from their own pastors. We need to get back to truth. Because, again, there's a lot of churches that are deceived. And this is not, again, like Seven Mountains is the only church. I'm talking about churches that are flying a rainbow flag outside that they're not going, hey, isn't it exciting that God will never flood the earth again? That's not why they're flying that flag. That church is an abomination. And again, I'm not saying that there might not be some nice people that are going there, but if they're going to fly that, what they're saying is we have now decided and disagree with God that this thing that we have called sin forever is now no longer sin. And it doesn't have to be that subject. If we started saying lying is no longer a sin or stealing is no longer a sin, it's just as much an abomination. It's blasphemy. It's calling things good, evil, and evil good. We don't, you guys understand that we don't get the option to disagree with God. I assume that he's way smarter than everyone in this room. And he's never going to tell you to do something that's somehow going to not be for you. He loves you. If he sacrificed his own son for us, he's not going to do anything to you. He's not going to tell you to do something, and then he was like, nah, and then, you know, like, it causes you harm, even though people do that all the time. All right, let's go on. Okay, this is in John 17. John 17, this is the infamous passage where it talks about oneness. John 17 is one of my favorite chapters. We're going to come right into verse 17. He says, sanctify. That word sanctify means make them holy and set apart. I hear people say all the time, well, we're already made righteous by the blood, but we're working on our sanctification. That's not true. You have been made righteous. You have also been made sanctified. Do you believe that you're set apart? Okay? Just because not everybody acts like they're set apart doesn't mean that they're not set apart, because this is talking about in your spirit. Sanctify them. This is Jesus praying to the Father. Sanctify them by the truth. So you are made holy and set apart because of truth. And if you think about it, other words that we use is still simply truth versus a lie. Light versus darkness. Darkness is confusion. Darkness is deception. You can't see things clearly unless you have the light. And the light in the Bible most commonly means illumination. And what that means is revelation coming to you. If you read something in the Word and you're like, I've never seen this before, this totally changes everything. That means light just lit up in a dark area of your life. So sanctify them by the truth. Set them apart. Make them holy by the truth. Look at this. Your word is truth. And we know that Jesus is the Word made flesh. So again, the salmon color that I have in there, that's just to remind you. It doesn't have those words in there. It just simply says sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. But the word is Jesus. The word is always Jesus. The Bible says this is the same gospel writer that wrote in chapter 1. We're now in chapter 17. In chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the word. Another way you could say that is, in the beginning was truth. All there was truth, reality in the beginning. Distortion and lies did not come in until the fall. So Jesus is saying, set them apart. By means of the truth, your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Look at this. For their sakes, this is Jesus talking, I sanctify myself. Jesus has made himself holy. He has made himself set apart. And he said he did it for us. Look at this. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. Make myself holy and set apart. Why does he sanctify himself? So that they may be sanctified in truth. Do you understand? If truth is not set apart and holy, then we cannot be sanctified in it. So Jesus is the truth. He is the word. So he sanctifies himself, makes that holy, so that if we're walking in truth, living in truth, lost my train of thought. Walking in truth, living in truth, and everything just exuding Jesus, then that is proof of our sanctification. You're already sanctified by the truth. He loves you. He's forgiven your sins. He wants you well. He wants to heal you. All of that stuff is truth, but he has to make himself sanctified first so that that what we believe, which is him, in that holiness and that set apartness is actual truth. And so if we believe in the truth, if we walk in the truth, that shows proof of our sanctification. I really believe that if you read the Bible long enough, it starts off simple and then it gets super, super deep. But what I'm finding now, as the more I study it, I really believe that God wants us to keep it simple. And this couldn't get any more simple. Walk in truth. If you're walking in truth, you're walking in Jesus. Walk in love. If you're walking in love, you're walking with Jesus, because the truth is God is love. So for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. Your sanctification comes in Christ, who is truth. Let's go on. This is the infamous exchange between Pilate and Jesus before he's getting ready to be crucified. Again, we're cutting right into the middle of this because I just want to highlight about what he says about truth. He says, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. If you've been coming here for a while, you know that in Greek, the most common understanding and translation of that word, which is aletheia, is actually the word reality. So anytime you see that, you could say, well, oh, he's calling it the spirit of truth. It's the spirit of reality. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the reality and the life. And I think it's really important. I know once I learned that that's what that word was most commonly translated, it opened up to so much more, because especially for us living in these days, we see more and more people engaged in non-reality. Literally insanity. We're saying things that aren't even true. Again, we're changing the language and the culture of the language. So again, for an example, instead of calling it baby murder, we call it healthcare. And it's just a way. And again, the devil's behind all of this. He hates you. He hates me. He wants to destroy you, and he's got every opportunity to do so while we're here. But if you're walking in truth, he will never destroy you. So look, he says, I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Those who are of the truth hear my voice. So what he's saying is, my voice is truth. If you are of truth, then you will hear my voice because my voice is truth. And of course, that makes sense because Jesus is the Word of God. That's why he was here communicating the truth of God, communicating the truth of the kingdom. And it's not in word only. It says in word and in deed. So it's not just be saved, it's be healed. It's not just be free, it's be fed. He fed them. Everything that Jesus not just said and did is the gospel of the kingdom. And that is the truth. That is reality. Okay, next. Okay, I was not going to type up all of these slides, so we're going to end with this. I'm just going to read it. So if you want to go on your YouVersion app, because I didn't type all this out on your notes thing. So you can go on, if you've got your Bibles or YouVersion app or whatever app you use. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible. This is John chapter 8. I want you to take everything that you just learned about reality, truth, that Jesus is the Word is truth, the Spirit of truth, everything is pointing to truth. I hope that point has been made several times today. That was my goal. So 8:31, look at this exchange, and this is important. So this is Jesus talking to the crowd. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, stop there. Sometimes I think we're getting ready to get to the letters in red and we miss something important. He says, Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him. So I'm going to now apply this to me. I'd like to invite you to apply it to yourself because we would all call ourselves believers. Now, we're not Jewish believers, but we are believers. It says those who had believed him. Because what we talked about before about abiding in the vine, it's not just about believing once and then going, hey, remember that time I got baptized and believe and then I've never done anything since? Like, without judging you, I would question if you were saved. Because the Bible talks over and over again about abiding the vine, walking in the light, all of those things. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, everybody say, if you continue in my word, what is his word? Truth. So you could say, if you continue in my truth, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue, then you are truly disciples. Because you understand there's no command to make converts. The command is make disciples. Now, we can't control if somebody converts and then just goes, yeah, I don't really want to be a disciple. I mean, that's going to be between them and the Lord on judgment day. But we are not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples. Look at this. You are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you are living in lies, if you are living in deception, if you're living in darkness, all of these people that are believing the lies from these institutions, from the media and stuff, they are not free. They're in bondage and chains. Lies and deceptions and confusion are chains that are worn. And he says, truth sets you free. Truth makes you free. Look, now these are people that have believed him so far. Look, they answer him. We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? This guy was not very smart or doesn't know the culture and the history of the Jewish people because they were in bondage all the time. If you've read the Old Testament, and the fact that he was saying that, they were currently under Roman rule as the words were leaving that guy's mouth. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." And remember, sin is missing the mark. So missing the mark would say we fell short of truth. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Verse 36, so if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus says, I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me. Look what he says. Why do they seek to kill him? Because my word has no place in you. You ever notice sometimes if you're talking to people about Jesus that aren't Jesus followers, like sometimes their countenance just changes. They get really like upset. There's a reason for that. There's warfare going on in that moment. He says, you're seeking to kill me because my word, which is truth, has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Look what he says to the crowd. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Let me say this to myself and all of us. If you are God's child, do the deeds of God. If you are Jesus' brother or sister, do the deeds of your brother, who happens to also be God. If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, he says it again, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. So he's saying, you say you're of Abraham, but you're doing something that even your father Abraham didn't do. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father who is God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative. There's that same word, that same Greek word that we saw earlier, that it says the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own initiative. So again, we made the point that Jesus doesn't speak on his own initiative. I have not even come on my own initiative, but he, the Father, sent me. Look what he says. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? You ever talk to people and like you are making it as clear as day and they just don't get it? Don't get frustrated. Jesus was in that boat too. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? And then he answers his own question. It is because you cannot hear my word. People that want to be deceived, people that want to walk in darkness, people that want to walk in lies, whether they even know they're doing it or not, cannot hear truth because they do not have Christ. You may, again, have some friends that, again, agree that there's only two genders or that abortion is wrong or that, you know, the only kind of sexual relationship should be a man and a woman in the context of marriage. But if they don't have Christ, they don't have the truth. Look what he says. It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Remember what he did? He tricked Adam and Eve, basically, to die. He lied to them. Oh, if you eat of that, you won't die. They ate of it. Now, they didn't drop dead that day, but instantly their spirit died. And then 900 years later, their body followed suit. Look, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Sometimes people say, well, the devil gives a partial truth. A partial truth is a lie. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. And remember, he is the word. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. People cannot hear the voice of God. People cannot embrace the word of God. People cannot do any of that unless they have the spirit of truth, unless they have made Jesus Lord of their life. He's saying, and remember, the phrase started off, the Jews who had believed him. How many of you know that some people have come to Christ and then they start actually walking in it, and then they come across passages in the Bible that they don't agree with? And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, are you? And then, or something in our culture that has been accepted, they find out that the Word of God actually says that that's wrong. Why? Because again, we'd rather believe the lie if it's, even if it's this, the sake of, I've literally talked to people that says, I have a friend who is in a homosexual lifestyle. I cannot be a Christian because then that means I'm not that person's friend. They literally made a choice between being this person's friend or being saved. And I'm sometimes baffled. I'm like, can you wait a second? I need to go and pray because I don't even know how to deal with this mindset. God is God. How about you be a Christian and just love that person and tell them the truth? And if they want to end the friendship, that's on them. This is how crazy it's been. I don't know if you saw that the legacy media is telling people, if you voted for Harris and the holidays are coming up and you have to spend holidays with people that voted for Trump for your own safety, for your own lack that you won't, like, you know, you won't get triggered or something, it's better to not spend holidays with them. That is demonic. It's a lie. But what does lies do? It divides us. It's meant to divide and conquer us, all of these things. So that's why it's more important now and forever to speak truth. Now, don't speak truth in hate. Don't go to some rally somewhere and yell at a bunch of people in hate. But we need to speak truth, because truth in culture, the whole, again, the systems of this world are designed to snuff out truth. The Word of God is the truth, because Jesus is the Word. You need to be filling yourself up. Spend a lot of time. Read the Old Testament. You guys know in here, I'm not against the Old Testament, but we're New Covenant Christians. If you're like, you need to spend the majority of your time reading the New Testament. Understand who you are in Christ. Put these realities and get them deep in the recesses of your mind, because there will come a day, maybe in your lifetime, maybe not, where the majority of people will not be walking in truth. I think because of what we saw this last election cycle, and there was prophecy about an awakening happening, I believe that those things are very positive. But believe me, because it's written in the Word of God, there will come a day, a season, a time where the majority of truth will be gone, and we will be the few that actually know the truth that makes us free. So I would encourage you that as we see that day approaching, like the Bible says, we need to be immersing ourselves in truth. We need to be immersing ourselves and be around other people that know the truth, and so that we can edify each other with speaking truth. That's why anytime somebody's down or somebody's depressed or something's going, yes, hug them. Yes, console them, but speak truth over them. Cut off the lie that has been told them. Well, somebody at my job said this. That's a lie. And call it a lie. Use firm language about it. It's a lie. This is who God says you are, and He is truth. We need to speak truth to lies in the same way we speak life to death, and we speak light to darkness.